Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
G'day, what's up? It's Aiden Jones. You're listening to Sitting Under a Tree for Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2024. Oh, perfect. The perfect sip of tea. Get absolutely fucked. Man, I'm swimming in good vibes, is what I just said to my housemate. Swimming in good vibes. Just a marvelous day. It's fucking high noon, by which I mean 1:17 p.m. The sun is out. It's cold. I got 2 days off work. This is day one. Oh, man. I've been working a bunch lately. I just got my paycheck and it is good. I've had a lot of outgoings lately. But yeah, you know, I worked yesterday. I had a great day yesterday. You know, like when you've done a bit of a stretch of work days as well, the last day doesn't even feel like a real one because you're like, fuck, whatever. I'll tell you what, this stretch since the last podcast started with me being a fucking psycho. I was so stressed. I was stressing myself out as per goddamn usual. Oh my God, that's such a good tea. Last Wednesday, I was just running around all day, man. Had the day off. But filled it up with stuff, you know, standard. And it culminated with me buying a piano. That's my big news for the last week is I bought the piano that I've been looking at, this baby grand. And I was pretty psyched with myself because I went to look at it on Wednesday. It's out in the patch, which is so far away. The lady started at $4,500 was what she was originally looking for. And then by the time I was looking at it, she had knocked it down to 2.9. And then as I was on my way to look at it, she was like, hey, by the way, I'm going to knock it down again to 1.9 and I'm willing to negotiate. So when I got there, I just went, oi, what about, I looked at it and it looked pretty good. I played all the notes, you know, they all rang pretty well. They sounded okay to my ear. None of them were fucked. None of them had any rattling or anything. The action seemed okay. The hammers didn't rub together. The piano itself looks nice. The wood, whatever. So I just said, what about $1,500? I transfer it to you right now. And she called me and said, yeah, done. And so now tomorrow, we're going to pick it up. And I was working and I worked with a guy a few days. I've been telling everyone, look, I've got the photos on my phone. Look, I bought this fucking piano. And yeah, I was working with some guy and he was like, man, my cousin tunes pianos. So I called this guy up and I was like, this is the situation. Can you tune it for me and whatever? And he was like, yup. And we're going to do a bunch of work on it. Regulate the action. Do all this stuff. Fucking maybe he'll even teach me a thing or two. If I set the day aside, oh my God, that'd be incredible. I'm actually going to ask him if he wants to do that, if he would just let me sit with him and watch what he does and learn how to do it. But yeah, man. So I bought the piano and that was Wednesday. I did some work with my director on the show in the morning and we had lunch and then drove out to the patch and looked at the piano. And then a friend of mine who just moved from Brizzy to Melbourne wanted to buy a couch and needed a thing to pick it up. And so I offered because I, you know, I was like, I want to help. So I was like, yeah, man, let me, what if I'm driving, so I'm hiring a car. So if I hire a van, then we can split the cost. I'll do my drive and then I'll pick up your couch and we can do that. But then I also had a gig in the evening, two gigs actually, and it just all became so stressful and the traffic was crazy and I was running around, and yeah, it just became a very stressful evening where, like, oh, that's fucking right, and I lost my book. I lost my fucking biography of Frédéric Chopin, and I have no idea where I lost it. But at some point in the, like, I got my director to drop me at the car hire, like where it was, at like 4 PM. And then I drove out to the patch, 4 or maybe 2 or 3 or whatever the fuck it was. Drove out to the patch, which was like 1.5 hours. And looked at the piano, said I would buy it, and then drove back out to like the patch is east of Melbourne, and then I drove all the way across the city to the west to grab this couch that my friend bought, and I didn't even have time to pick her up so that she could look at it. So I just drove out there and like lifted it into the van myself. Just a 3-seater couch. Lucky it was light. And then I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, I am going to make my gig. I'm going to make it. It's all good. So I put it in the back of the van and I said, I'll do my gig. I even lied to my friend because I felt bad that I was like splitting her job into two parts. But I was like, I told her I had one gig, but actually I had two. But I was like, after my gig, I'll drop it at your house. And so I did the two gigs that I had and they were both great fun. And then I drove back to Flemington to her house, dropped the couch off. Witnessed a very interesting couch lifting technique from her housemate. My man was like picking it up from the side, like leaning over the whole couch and grabbing it and trying to walk on the side of it. I think because he didn't want to walk backwards. Anyway, I was like, huh, interesting technique there, brother. That's neither here nor there. And, yeah, got that all done by 10:30 at night, or almost 11. Drove the car back to the thing and dropped it off and then rode my bike back home. Oh, that's right. Dropped my piano home, picked my bike up, put the bike in the back of the van, drove the van to where it needs to go, got my bike out, rode home, got home, took all my clothes off, was about to go have a shower, and I was like, I've succeeded. Everything today went perfectly. And then I started just looking around my room and I was like, where's my fucking Chopin book? Where's the biography that I've been reading and loving and obsessed with? And I couldn't find it. And I was like, I bet I left it in the fucking hire car. So I put my clothes back on. I got them out of my hamper, rode 15 minutes back to the car. Couldn't find it, but then I felt bad about the way that I parked the car, so I fucking got back in and reparked it. Because I was in such a rush in the first instance that I parked it like 1 foot away from the curb. So I got back in and reparked it, and I was in such a rush then, I had my bike, I just threw it in the middle of the road. And I went to start parking the car and I was like, my bike tire is pretty close to the tire of the van. And I just had a flash of like, I'm going to run my own bike over reparking this car because I'm so fucking stressed right now. All of my own making. There's no reason for me to be stressed. So I was like, get Aiden, get out. And I went to get out and I had the car in drive and it started, or reverse, and it started rolling backwards. I was like, fucking fuck. Put my bike on the curb, reparked the car. The book's not in there. I come home. I've lost my book. I'm just seething at myself. I'm so angry. I called my friend in the UK and talked to him for like 1 hour and that was lovely. And we talked a bunch of shit. And then I went to bed at 1 and I had work at 6:30. So I get up for work in the morning. And this is the thing that I really fucked up. Get up for work and I just had in my mind that we checked my stats on Saturday and that, like, you know, I'd done a bit of damage on items and I felt bad. I can't remember whether I talked about that on the podcast last week, but you can check your stats and I'd just done more damage in my history working for the removals company than what I had thought, and that made me feel bad because I want to do a good job. So I just had that in my head, but the one thing that was going for me was like, I'm on time 88% of my shifts, which is quite good. And my boss said that. It was just a fun thing. It's not important. My job's not in danger. I hope, you know, whatever, right? I think I bring a good attitude to the workplace. But as I rode to work, I was aware that I didn't get as much sleep as I would have liked and that I was maybe going to be a couple minutes late. And it's a binary, late or not, you know? And I wanted to, I was just like, all that I have going for me is that I'm always on time. So I'm just hooning my bike around and it's a busy morning on the streets. And there's on Princess Parade, is it, or Alexandra Parade, the Princess Highway, three lanes each way in the morning. And it's just hard to get across because it's always really busy. And especially the way going out of the city is very busy. And going east to west is a busy part, which is the part I cross, you know, I'm going south. So I cross west to east is the first lane of three that I cross. And then there's a median strip and that's the second one. And in the middle of the road, there was a line of cars waiting to turn right. And then there's two lanes to the left of them. And I saw that the lanes were free. So I went to just go across and I just, you go. And I didn't see that there was a fucking car coming in the lane that was obscured by the lineup of cars to turn right. But I'd already committed. So I just went. And I beat it and it nicked the back of my tire. This car going fucking 60 Ks an hour nicked my back tire. I felt it nick my back tire and it put me off balance and I made it to the end of the street and then just fell off my bike and hit a fence. And it was so fucking dumb that I did that. And it scared the shit out of me. My bike is fine. I'm fine. Actually, I landed on my shoulder and my shoulder's been a bit sore, which is what I fucking deserve. And it's just like, why? Why did I need to? I didn't need to do that. Might have been Thursday or maybe it was Friday, whatever the fuck day it was. It was just so dumb. And if I was a second earlier, I'm just dead. You know, the car just hits me straight on at 60 Ks. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just that happened. And it's just a reminder to go slow and to be calm and to not worry. Because the best case scenario, if I gun it on my bike all the way to work, it's about a 35 minute ride. Maybe I do it in 30. You know, it's like I'm 5 minutes earlier to work. Who gives a fuck? Oh my God. But I just let myself get carried away with these thoughts and feelings. You know, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta be on time because I've made a commitment to someone or because I owe whatever. It's not important. So on Friday, I called up Readings. I think it was Thursday. On Friday, I called up Readings, the bookstore, to see if they had a copy of my book in, and they did. So I booked it, and on Saturday, I went and picked it up. And I mean, it's been good since then. Friday was a great day at work. Saturday was a great day at work. Sunday was a lovely day on working on my tour guide job. Went to the Grampians. It was just a beautiful day. We had a small tour group. Oh my God, how's this? The start of the day, I had 11 people on the tour. And then when we get there, we drive to Halls Gap first up. So I pick them up at 7:30 and we drive to Halls Gap. We're in Halls Gap at about 11:20. And I get to Halls Gap and this one Korean girl in the group goes, hey, well, I've given everyone a half hour to go get food and stuff before we go keep driving into the mountains. And she goes, hey, can I talk to you really quickly? I just need to say something to you in private. I'm like, okay, what's this going to be? And she goes, I've just realized that my flight back to Korea is not tomorrow. It's today at 8 p.m. We're 3 hours away from Melbourne. And she's got 8 hours, really 7 hours to get back to Melbourne to catch an international flight back to Korea. And like there's a big music festival happening in Halls Gap and there's people everywhere. And we go and talk to the service station people. and then the information center people, and then the guy at the news agent, and slowly find out that there are no taxis in Halls Gap. The closest taxis are in Stawell, which is about a 20-minute drive away. The next bus comes at 2:50, which gets her back to Melbourne at 7:30, which is not in time to get her flight. So we go to the news agent, and he calls his friend who used to drive taxis. I hear him on the phone go like, "Hey, do you still drive?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right, how would you drive? How would you go for driving someone back to Melbourne from Halls Gap? And could you do it today, like ASAP?" And he's like, "Yeah, what's the price?" $600. Korean girl freaking out next to me. She's like on the verge of tears for the last 10 minutes while we've been looking to try and resolve this. Here's $600 and goes, "Oh," and I'm like, "This," I'm like, "Oh, thank God, you know, someone's going to do it. She's going to make it." And she's next to me and I'm like, "Great. All she needs to do is say yes. And then I can leave. And I want to go and leave and buy some food, but I want to just see this situation out, you know?" So I'm just waiting for her to go, "Yes, great. Thank you." And then I can shake her hand, shake the news agent's hand and get on with my day and have the break that I'm supposed to be having right now rather than fucking this. And she goes, $600. And I'm like, "Man, I told you it'd be fucking a few hundred bucks. $600. And the guy on the phone to his mate goes, "What about 550? And the guy goes, "Yeah, 550. And he looks at her and she's going, $550. I'm like, "Man, you're fucked right now. You are not in a position to haggle. You need to take this fucking deal." And then the guy goes, $500. And his mate goes, "Oh, does she have cash?" And she goes, "I don't have cash." And I'm like, "Take the fucking deal, you fuckwit. I hate her. I'm impressed. I'm so stressed." And finally she goes, he goes, "Yeah, all right, 500. I'm like, doing the maths in my head. It's about 6 hours all up driving for this guy. It's probably $150 in fuel. 6 hours, and he's making now $500. Take that, $350 divided by six. He's only making fucking $50 an hour for a last minute, "You're fucked if I don't do this job." I mean, the balls, the absolute balls. I don't get it. I don't even normally do haggling. The piano thing was like, you know, the fact that she said, "I'm willing to negotiate." And then I had to call my friend and be like, "What should I say to her?" And he said, "You should say $1,400. And then I didn't even say, I said $15. I'm bad at haggling, man. Fuck, I couldn't believe it. I was standing there watching her jaw on the fucking floor with the audacity to haggle. That'd be like Sophie's Choice, you know, when the guy's like, "All right, you got two children. I'm going to kill one of them. Which one's it going to be?" And you're like, "What about I get to keep the one that lives, and then the other one, you don't kill them. You just cut all their limbs off. You just break their neck so they're in a wheelchair." That's so funny. Like, if Sophie's Choice was, you know, that's like one of those TikToks where, like, you know, ethnic moms, how they haggle. If Sophie's Choice was like Sophia's Choice, if she was Italian. Which kid do you love more? Oh my God. What about you don't kill either of the kids and I'll give you this 10 kilo bananas that I got at the market the other day. That TikTok, that's doing fucking 2.5 million. Fuck, I hate those stupid ass TikToks. Hey, it's all the same now. It's all fucking hack. Just like, you know, this person likes this thing. The things these people say, five things that the person says on Sunday, whatever fucking boring shit. It's like, do you even like this? These videos that you put, do you even think this is funny? I don't think you do. I think you think that we're all stupid. God. Did you see? Oh my God. Reaction videos, news reaction videos. Fuck, man. I could not think of a fucking worse job to just be stuck in, to be like, what's my funny take on the latest news story of the day? Ugh. And I've tried to do it. I have tried to do it in my more defeated, cynical moments, you know, where I'm just like, maybe this is how I have a career in stand-up, is I start just farming content. Fuck. Awful, 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 awful. It makes me sad when I see people that I respect doing that. It's like, do you want to do this? Just do the thing that you like. I know I've talked about it before, but I think about Kyle Kinane on Ari Shaffir's podcast years ago, reviewing his first album when he was 10 years in a stand-up and saying about how he could hear the people who worked in his warehouse in the audience on the recording laughing at the jokes. And he says, at that point in my life, I realized that I had a job that I could do, and then I had stand-up that was completely separate to my job that I didn't need to make money, and so I just did it for myself. And it was a fun puzzle that I just could always work on, and that would keep me happy for the rest of my life. And that was it. That's all I needed. I just needed my job to make money and stand up to be fulfilled and creative and have an outlet. And if I could have those two things for the rest of my life, I would be happy. And that is just such a place of strength and fulfillment. And just that's where you got to be at. If you're going to create great work, you don't need anything else. And when people start doing TikToks about cynical bullshit that's not even funny or interesting, it's like, why are you doing this? Why? Why? Whatever. Whatever. It's not important. I had a great set last night. Do you know what? On that very note, right, I feel really good about the show at the moment and just the work that I'm doing on it and the way that it's – every week I have a new little thing to do on and work on, and it's, you know, I'm creating this project. And another upshot of that was, like, last night I had a gig at the Bergy Seltzer just down Sydney Road, and it's a great Monday night gig. And, you know, last night there were shitloads of people in there, man. There were a bunch of – young 19, 20, 21 year olds hanging out on a Monday night who came in to watch comedy, and the place was full and it was pumping. And I didn't know it was going to be like that when I rode down there, but there's always at least a few people in. And I'm riding my bike down Sydney Road and I didn't have any new jokes to try because I just haven't had time. And I was like, what am I going to do? What, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do on this show. And I started thinking, oh, maybe I'll just riff. And I thought about it, you know, like maybe I'll just go on stage with no plan and just talk to them and see what happens. And I was thinking about how I've done that in Edinburgh and like on my documentary, the few good sets that I had in Edinburgh where I did that and how fulfilling that was. And that the reason I've been able to do that in Edinburgh is because you gig so much that the gigs become meaningless and the stakes are so low that you're able to actually be free and express yourself. And then I thought, well, this gig doesn't mean anything either because I don't need it to mean anything because I have this show that I'm working on and the process that I'm going through with it. And it's actually that process doesn't live or die on how well I do at any one gig or the other. And it feels different to what it has in the past. It's like this show that I'm working on, like, yes, getting on stage, you know, informs my skill as a stand-up and it's a way that I improve that and work on it or whatever. But I'm not working on bits that need to go in the show. I actually can't. I feel like I can't work on the bits for the show, especially without my piano. I didn't have my keyboard on me. And then even when I do have my keyboard on me, at some points it can be hard to take bits from the show out of their context and put them into a 5 or 10 minute stand-up set, because that's just the kind of show that it is. So I'm like, well, I'm going on stage and I'm wanting to go on stage, but I'm not needing to do it for any kind of financial reason. So actually, I'm free to do whatever I want with this time on stage. So I can just go on and have fun and enjoy it. And I made that decision. I was like, oh, I've got one thing that I could talk about. And what it was I had this great moment at work on, I reckon, Thursday with the guy that I worked with, where we were talking about being young and we were playing tunes for each other. And I put on Faxing Berlin by Deadmau5 and remembered that the first time I ever heard Deadmau5 was when I was 18 and I was working in this bar called The Pier in Adelaide that a guy I knew from high school got me the job, who was a couple years above me. It was really cool. And me and him and this other guy who worked there, one of the guys found like a 10 pack of pills on the ground during our shift. And then the three of us went back to the other guy's mom's house, like where he was living. And we just did pills after work and we were at the place and we were drinking and whatever. And then they put on Girl Talk, that artist who used to do mashups of songs before he got sued for not clearing samples. And then also put on Faxing Berlin by Deadmau5. And it was the first time I'd ever heard it. And the warm rising sound and that progressive house sound and the way it really just creeps up on you. And I was high on MDMA for probably one of the first times in my life. Not the first, but like first 5 or 6, I reckon. And I just remember loving it so much and having this feeling like what I was talking about in the truck with the guy was like, it's such a special moment for me. And that I feel like a lot of people have that moment when you finish school and you're suddenly just cast out into the world and you have this like enormous hit of freedom and the realization that you can do anything. And of course, one of the first things you do is like you take drugs and you get really drunk and you just push all of that shit to the limit. And in the great moments when you're on drugs, you don't have any perspective about what your life is going to be or even any kind of idea. Like you don't know how long 10 years is or 20 years or a lifetime. And you have no concept of the idea that like taking drugs and staying up all night, you have no concept that that will ever get old. And you're just enjoying it so much in that moment. And you know that you have no one to answer to. And so it's just like, I could do this forever. I could do this every day if I wanted. Like we finished that shift on Saturday and I was like, I don't have to do anything until next Friday when I work again. I can just do the way that I feel right now. I can just feel this good for the next 6 days. And then I have to work 2 shifts again. And then I can do this. And I can just do this for the rest of my life and feel this good. I just remember having not those explicit thoughts, but just like an understanding of like, I can do anything I want. And I want to do this. And I can do this. And that innocence and naivety is so precious. And those moments. And I shared that with that guy in the truck and he knew what I meant because he's in his 30s as well. And then a day or two later, I worked with a different guy who was 21. And, you know, I just get nostalgic, man, when I work with a young guy, when I meet a young guy who I can kind of see myself in. I just want to fucking shake him by the shoulders and tell him, you know, like, this is so special. The time of your life that you're in right now is so special. And just make sure that you enjoy it, because before you know it, it will be gone. And all that you will have is memories, and you'll be walking around looking for other fucking young men to grab and shake so that you can in some way relive those lost moments of your youth. And I was driving the truck and I started to, I can't remember how we got onto it, but I was just like, man, the other day I was reminiscing about the first time I heard Deadmau5, and I started telling that story. And as I started telling the story, I fucking, without even thinking, I just turned the radio down so I could hear myself talk. And like, because it wasn't the moment, I was just trying to relive the moment. Oh God, this is quite poetic, isn't it? Because I was just trying to relive the moment and the conversation that I had with the guy my age a few days before, it didn't hit it. We didn't get there organically. I was just trying to reach it back and have it again. And also, I guess he just wasn't that interested in hearing some fucking guy, you know, to tell him how special it is to be 21. And so I saw his eyes glaze over. And then as soon as I stopped talking, he just like went like, oh, yeah, cool, man. And then reached over and just turned the radio back up. And it just made me feel so old and stupid. And anyway, as I was riding to the gig last night, I remembered that because I was just thinking about, I don't know, I was just thinking about stuff that I could talk about. And I thought, all right, well, I'll talk about that. Depending on who's there, there'll probably be some young people there and I'll just tell them that story about that thing, and it made me feel old and whatever. And then when I got on stage, I was like, I'll just riff until I get to that. And I'll just ask them about being young or how old they are or whatever. And I got on stage and as luck would have it, they were all young, 19, 20. And I riffed with them for a bit and I was really loose. And then I told the story and the story didn't really go that well. And then I closed on a bit of material that I've been doing. But the times riffing with them, because I didn't care and because it wasn't important to me how the gig went, I was so loose and just ready to have fun. And I started just having fun with them and I had the best fucking set and I got a bunch of follows. I waited at the door after the gig with my Instagram account code there and was like, follow me on Instagram. And they did. And I've got a trial, by the way, on the 8th of June at Goff's in Richmond. If you're in Melbourne, 8th of June at Goff's in Richmond, I'm doing my show. And I'm going to book a few friends to do the show as well. And then I will do my hour. And I want everyone to come. I'm going to sell it out and it's going to be a great show. It's going to be heaps of fun. And we're just going to fucking turn it into a party, you know? It's a Saturday night. The show's at 6, finishes at 8. And then after that, we can do anything. But yeah, I got some follows and I'm going to tell those people to come to the show. Whatever. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Yep. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great about the show, great about the process. I was in Daylesford doing removals the other day and we were there for our lunch break and I went to just like walk around and look for any French furniture or just like old 19th century furniture to give me some inspiration or see if I wanted to buy anything for the show. Still haven't found anything that I really want to get chair wise or whatever, but that's something to look for in the next few months. But I did find a place with old provincial French furniture and the lady there, I actually fucking, her partner owned a pub that I performed at in the town of Gordon in that kind of Western district a couple years ago. And we talked about that. He's sold the pub since. He's had a bit of a tough time, but she was very helpful. She recognized me when I said I was a comedian. And then she showed me a bunch of the French furniture that they have. And I took some photos of stuff that could be good and got some more ideas about stuff to have around the room that might be helpful. So yeah, it's all happening, man. It's really, really happening. What else do I want to talk about? Do I have anything else that I want to talk about here? French furniture in Daylesford. The Bergie Seltzer. Swimming in Good Vibes is going to be the name of this podcast this week. Swimming in good vibes. Oh dear, I just realized my fucking email address on my website is all wrong. Swimming in good vibes. It's just been the perfect weather, man. It's been great days. The image for the podcast this week is going to be maybe one of these bits of furniture that I saw. There was a nice mirror that looked good. I really liked, there's a couple of like glass medicine bottles that were of the time. I don't know if they're quite the aesthetic, but something along those lines could be it, you know? I don't know. What's the image going to be here? Maybe the medicine bottles, maybe the fucking... Maybe, no, not the painting of the little boy. The mirror, no, the door. None of this is really grabbing me. Swimming in good vibes. That's the title. Now, what... I think it might be the glass bottles. There's something about the photo of the glass bottles that I like. Yeah. It's going to be... The photo for this week's podcast will be a photo of a couple of glass bottles that I took in this store that has all 19th century provincial European furniture and... what's the word? Knickknackery. That's not the word that I'm looking for. Miscellanea. Fuck. Whatever. Things. It's going to be a picture of two of these glass medicine bottles that I liked them. And the title is Swimming in Good Vibes. And do I have anything else to say? I feel like I got a bunch more shit that I want to say, but I don't know what it is. And maybe that's okay. Great gigs all weekend. Great times. I'm having fun. I almost killed myself riding my bike on Thursday morning. But you know what? I didn't. I'm not dead. And that's truly a gift. So, don't die. If I could give you guys one piece of advice... Oh man, I will talk about one other thing. I had a chat to this other young dude on the Dalesford day, and just young dudes, man. I'm sure I would have been talking like this when I was 21, but he was talking about this guy who's like a fucking, you know, one of these podcast guests / public intellectual dudes. Some guy who made $800 million because he created Venmo. And he retired by the time he was 30. And now he's just obsessed with living forever and the idea that humans can be engineered so that our bodies can live forever. And this guy, who's a lovely guy and, you know, intelligent and thoughtful and kind by the seams of it. We had great conversations all day. But his whole thing is he's like, I want to just make heaps of money so that I can retire young and then I can give myself to like working towards causes that have a bit of meaning. And I didn't really say this to him because I don't know if it's my place, but I just wanted to be like, man, this is the trap of capitalism, is it makes you think that you can just earn fuckloads of money. Like you can't, it's luck. This guy fucking invented Venmo. Do you think that's anything other than sheer luck? He made $800 million and retired by the time he's 30. You'll be working for the rest of your life trying to make that money. And you'll never get to do the thing that you actually care about. And this guy, oh, this fucker is fucking evil, man. This guy who's rolling around the world, some billionaire going, oh yeah, we can engineer ourselves so that we'll live forever. And then the idea that you can live forever means that you don't have to do the things that you want to do right now because you'll always have time to do them and there's always tomorrow. But it's like, yeah, maybe it's easy for him to say he's got $800 million, but for you and me, dude, there's no time. You don't have forever. You can't just like, oh, I'll make money now and then in the future I'll do the shit that I care about. That he used the words, I'm going to do things that are meaningful, but I just got to make money first so that I can do them. Wrong. fucking wrong. Do the shit now. I tried to kind of say it in like a soft way of like I said, you know, what I think is that there's not enough time in our lives because we will die. And that's a thing that you have to fucking accept. None of this fucking fairyland pie in the sky bullshit that you can make your body so that you can live forever. It's not going to happen. Even if that guy figures out how to do that, do you think he's going to share that with you and me, dude? You think that's trickling down to the guys driving a fucking man with a van truck to Dalesford? I shouldn't have said the name of the company. Do you think that's trickling down to us? No way. Oh, man. It broke my heart to hear him talk like that, you know, that some fucking podcast cunt has put these ideas in his head that he can live forever. And so what he should do is work in some fucking boom sector now and just waste his life working for people, you know, on the promise of that your life. That's the other thing about being 21 is it's true. You don't understand how long 10 years is. 10 years is a long time, but it's also gone like that. And, you know, you'll wake up tomorrow and you'll be 30 and you still won't have $800 million. You won't. You fucking won't, man. And that is also a gift, because that means that rather than trying to make that money now, you can just fucking do the thing, whatever the thing is that's about like, that'll give my life meaning, just do it now. Just start tomorrow. What is it that you actually want to do? Oh, fuck. I shouldn't be talking about him in this way because these are things that he said to me and this is my podcast, but I just... Like, he was like, oh, I want to work in this sector that, you know, I don't actually care that much about, but it just feels like it's the next big thing, was basically what he was saying. And I just wanted to be like, man, what you're saying to me right now is you want to do something that you don't actually want to do because you think it's going to make you money. And that is why money is fucking evil, because it makes us do shit that we don't want to do to get it. And it's not important, because money doesn't give you the ability to work on the thing that you actually want to. You don't need money to do the thing that you want to do. You can just fucking do it. You don't need money for anything. It's not important. You got to pay your rent and eat food, and that's it. And you can do that working 3 days a week. You know, you don't need to give up your whole fucking, your 20s, man. Oh, whatever. It just doesn't matter. It's also not my problem. And maybe you have to fucking do that for your 20s to realize that that's the case. But I feel like right now I understand it. And I have a show right now that I am performing on the 8th of January, where I am going to try and say some version of this shit that I'm saying right now, which is that your life is yours and it's up to you and you can do whatever the fuck you want. So come to that on the 8th of June. You know what I want to do? I want to fucking play piano and tell jokes to people and yell and laugh and be happy and have people around me. Oh, that's the other thing that I wanted to say. When I was driving and stressed the other day, I had a long drive, and you know what I did that I'm really happy that I did? I didn't put on a podcast or listen to music. I put a headphone in and I just started calling friends to chat, and it was a great thing. And I think I want to do that more. I've noticed people who I think have great outlook on life, that's a thing that they do. There's a few people in my life who I notice that they just call people when they have a moment free, they just call their friends and check in. And I think that's great. And I did that and it was really nice, you know? So anyway, that's enough from me. Thank you guys very much for listening. You rock. I hope you're reaching out to the people around you in your life right now, just to check in, because you can do that. And that's a great use of your time. That's a much better use of your time than pursuing a bullshit career in AI and marketing because you think it's going to make you money. Fuck money. This has been Aidan Jones sitting under a tree. Peace.